So we're hearing this narration about what happened after Daksha, the sacrificial assembly. Daksha had become angry at Lord Shiva because he felt that Lord Shiva had not given him proper respect. Being his son-in-law, he thought that Lord Shiva should have given more respect to Daksha. So Daksha cursed that Lord Shiva should not receive any oblations during the sacrificial offerings. When Daksha made this statement, then Nandeshwara, the follower of Lord Shiva, was very upset. And he put a curse on Daksha and also on the followers of Daksha who were led by Bhrigu. And they were all these Brahmanas who were, because Bhrigu is a Brahmana, he's a Brahman for the demigods, so for the devas. So curse came on Bhrigu and the followers of Bhrigu who were all supporting Daksha. Nandeshwara cursed them. First of all, he cursed Daksha that very soon he would have the head of a goat. Quite a terrible curse. And then the two other curses were that the Brahmanas would engage in their brahminical duties just for making money, just for their maintenance. In other words, they'd be performing rituals which would have no spiritual value anymore. And the third curse was that they would not get liberation. So usually, you know, Brahmanas, that's the perfection of human life, to be a Brahmana, and it's expected that it should be the last birth. But Nandeshwara cursed that these Brahmanas, they're not going to get liberation. So after these curses were put, we see how Bhrigu reacts hearing these curses. He is going to make his curse. So this is the business of the material world. Tit for tat, you know. Somebody does wrong to me, I'll get my revenge on them. This is action and reaction. You know, you don't escape. This can go on continually if we behave in this way. We become entangled in the actions and reactions of karma. So this is not the desirable situation. Someone does bad for us. How should we take it? What should we do? If we are devotee of the Lord, we should be tolerant. A devotee of the Lord should tolerate whatever difficulties come upon them, accepting them as the grace of the Lord. Not that we should think how to get revenge on someone, because you just become caught in an endless cycle. You do bad, someone does bad to you, you try to get revenge, and then they'll come back at you again, and then you go again and try and get back at them. And in this way you go on endlessly. You're just creating another material body in this world. So as Srila Prabhupada describes, this is the situation of the material world. In the material world, there's actually no difference between a benediction and a curse. You know, if it's a material benediction or a curse, you know, they're both the same. They're both in the material world. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described like this. So we are thinking, this is good or this is bad. I like this, I don't like that. A Bala, A Manda, A Sabram. This is all manodharma, the business of the mind. We're thinking, I like this, I don't like that. We're thinking, this is good, this is bad. He is my friend, he is my enemy. This is a curse, this is a benediction. This is the business of the mind. We're thinking like this. Actually, it's the same thing. what is a curse and what is a benediction is just the same. A devotee should not be disturbed by these things. Lord Chaitanya, on one occasion, he was also cursed. It took place outside the home of Srivas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya was accustomed, before he took sannyas, while he was still living in Navadvip, he would go to the home of Srivas Thakur every evening, and every night they would remain there and have kirtan. So the kirtans were very powerful and attractive. People wanted to come. And there was one materialistic brahmana, he also wanted to come. But Lord Chaitanya did not allow him to attend. He would not let this brahmana was materialistic and would not have added to the devotional atmosphere. At this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having kirtan only with the devotees. It was a private affair. It was not a public affair. So Lord Chaitanya wouldn't allow this brahmana to come. So the brahmana cursed him. He took his Brahmin thread and broke his Brahmin thread and pronounced a curse that, "I curse you, you will never enjoy material life." So Lord Chaitanya danced very happily. He thought, very nice, you see. So you can see, you know, what appears to be a curse, you know, it's a benediction, actually. What appears to be a curse is a blessing. Because Lord Chaitanya certainly didn't want to enjoy material life. Similarly, Narada Muni was also cursed by Daksha. Daksha cursed Narada Muni because Narada Muni had preached to many of Daksha's sons. Daksha had, you know, Daksha's a Prajapati, and his business is to populate the universe. So he produced many sons. And then he told his sons, "I want you to first of all go and do some austerity, and as soon as you come back, you can prepare for your marriage. You know, before married life, first of all, do some austerity, purify yourself. You know, this is important even nowadays. You want to get married, first of all, do some tapasya, be trained up as a brahmachari, and then you can be a good grihastha." So Daksha sent his sons to the mountain to go and do some austerity before their marriage. But when they were in the mountain, Narada Muni saw them and he thought, "Oh, so nice young men. They're meditating, they're so austere." So Narada Muni preached to them, "Don't go home. Better you just stay away. You know, no need to go back." So they all renounced the world. So then Daksha had more sons, and he sent a second group of sons. Again, sent them to do, first of all, do some austerity. And again, Narada Muni preached to them and made them all into renunciates, that they wouldn't go home. So Daksha was very angry that this had happened. Two groups of sons, and they both fell under the influence of Narada Muni and renounced the material world. So he cursed Narada Muni, that he said, that you will not be able to remain in one place for any more than 3 days. Very short time. So this was a benediction for Narada Muni, because Narada Muni doesn't want to remain in any one place. You see? It was a curse by Daksha. But what was a curse was also benediction. So Daksha, next time, he didn't have any more sons. Next time he produced daughters. So daughters, they won't be inclined to renounce the world. So you see Narada Muni's being cursed, but it's a blessing. Similarly, Narada Muni himself would sometimes put curses. When he met the sons of Kuvera, Naligriva and Manikuvera, that they were drunk and naked and engaging in sinful activities in a holy place. So Narada Muni cursed them to become trees. That they would have to stand as trees. This was a benediction, actually, for them. It was a benediction because those trees were put in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. And ultimately, Lord Krishna came there and knocked over those trees, and Nala Kuvera and Manigriva were liberated from the bodies of trees, and they had become purified from all their sinful activities, and they had become devotees. So it seemed like a curse, but it was a benediction. So Prabhupada is making the point that actually curse and benediction is the same thing. If we're thinking, oh, I am cursed, I cannot enjoy the material life, we should see this as a benediction. It's a good thing. Actually, it's good. We may have some difficulty in our material life. We think, oh, this is a curse. Actually, we can see this as a blessing. We see Queen Kunti, praise to Krishna, give me trouble. Vipada shantutashasvat tatra tatra jagatkaro bhavato darshanam yachat apunar bhava darshanam. She prays to Lord Krishna, let all these calamities happen again and again, because by seeing you, I will no longer see birth and death. So, what is a curse? If we are cursed, it's a benediction for us, because those difficulties, they help us to become more conscious of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And if somebody blesses us, that may be also like a curse. You know, somebody blesses you to have lots of wealth, and then you will see all the troubles that wealth brings. Or you have you want to have a family, lots of sons, but then you'll see all the problems that there are in raising a family and so many sons, and the sons all fight with each other. One devotee was giving a lecture the other day in Calcutta. I was hearing him say, he was saying, one father can maintain five sons, but five sons won't maintain one father. So this is the problem, you see. So what seems like a benediction becomes a curse. So Prabhupada is explaining that we have to transcend all of this. This desire, this fear of being cursed, or the desire for benediction. We have to be peaceful. We have to come to the transcendental platform. And how to come to that transcendental platform? Simply by surrendering to Krishna. Devi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This Brahma danda, the punishment of the Brahmana, is duratyaya. Very difficult to overcome the punishment of a Brahmana. The words of the Brahmana, because the Brahmana is so dear to Lord Krishna, whatever a Brahmana says will become true. So everyone is fearful, or they used to be anyway, fearful of the Brahmana. Of course, Kali Yuga, we don't have to fear the Brahmana so much, because the Brahmanas don't have the power anymore. But in other ages, the Brahmanas had that Brahmana Tejas. So the Brahmana Danda was something everyone was fearful of. We see when Durvasa Muni would come with all of his followers to the home of the Pandavas, you know, they were very anxious to take care of them nicely. Because if you didn't take care of Durvasa, you know, he could easily get angry. And then you would really be afraid of this Brahmana Danda, what he would do. If you don't take care of Durvasa and you don't feed him and all of his army, all of his followers and disciples. That was why Draupadi, she was so worried how to feed them. And she had her fortunate, Draupadi is also Annapurna. She has her pot, you know, which she can always feed unlimited number of people. But on that occasion, they came after they'd eaten, but still, there was some morsel left in the pot. And she offered that to Krishna and satisfied Krishna. And in this way, Durvasa and his army, they were also satisfied. And they didn't even want to eat anymore. Anyway, the point is they were fearful of that curse of Durvasa Muni. If the Brahmana came, you didn't feed them, it would be very bad for someone. So, the Brahmanas had so much power, that power has declined quite a bit because of the abuse of the Brahmanical power. And that was meant described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Sringi, the son of Samika Rishi, cursed Maharaj Parikshit. He used his Brahmana Tejas to punish a person unjustly. Maharaj Parikshit had come to the ashram of his father while his father was engaged in meditation. Samika Rishi was sitting in meditation in trance, and Maharaj Parikshit had come there overwhelmed by thirst. He wanted to get some water. And because the Rishi did not receive him due to being in trance, Maharaj Parikshit felt offended and he took a dead snake and put it round the neck of the yogi. And the yogi's son, Sringi, when he saw this, then he cursed him that he would die by the bite of a snake bird within 7 days. And it is said from that moment, that was the beginning of the decline of the powers of the Brahmana. That the pride, the unnecessary pride of that young Brahmana boy brought about the downfall of the Brahminical caste, because he used the Brahminical power in an unjust way. When someone curses, when a Brahmana curses, it should be for the person's benefit. Just like Narada Muni, when he cursed Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva, it was a benediction. But here you see Sringi, he is cursing Maharaj Parikshit to die. Of course, it was a benediction also, because Maharaj Parikshit could take that opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. However, it was also, although it was a curse, it was a benediction, but still it was unjust, it was unnecessarily harsh punishment, and it brought about the decline in the powers of the Brahmanas. So Prabhupada explains that devotee should be peaceful. We should not be, it's not our business to curse or to benedict in any material sense. Of course, we want to give spiritual blessings for everyone. Therefore, when people come to devotees and ask for blessings, we give them the blessing that may you always be in Krishna consciousness. May your mind always be on Krishna. That is the highest blessing you can give. If we want to benedict people, we will simply give that blessing. We cannot bless them any other way. One time Prabhupada was traveling on the train in India and some people came to see him. The devotees were trying to protect Prabhupada, that he didn't want so many people coming and disturbing him. But two men were very persistent and somehow managed to get in. So then Prabhupada spoke to them and they said, "Swamiji, we want your blessing." So then Prabhupada said, What is this blessing? So one of them said, "Well, I have a bad back, I'm having a lot of trouble with my back." And then the other man said, "And I have my daughter not yet married." And Prabhupada said, "I will give you the blessing that you can become like these young men. That you will become a brahmachari. You can have a nice shaved head and saffron cloth." And the two men ran away. They didn't want Prabhupada's blessing. But actually, this is the real blessing of devotee. We bless people. May you always be in Krishna consciousness. Because if we're in Krishna consciousness, we will be peaceful. We can overcome the material energy if we are situated in Krishna consciousness. Because the material energy is under the control of Krishna. If we surrender to Krishna, then Maya is also controlled. We will not be troubled by all the problems of the material life. Just like if we go into someone's garden and they have lots of nice fruit trees, and we go into their garden and begin taking the fruits. Maybe they've got mangoes, and you start picking mangoes. But if the man's got trees with nice fruit, he'll probably also have a dog there. So the dog will come and will attack you. And you can't get free of the dog. The only way you can get free of the dog is when the owner of the dog comes. When the owner of the dog comes, then the dog is under the full control of its owner. All right? So similarly, Maya is Duradhyaya. There is no way we can get free of the material energy. It is very difficult to overcome. We cannot overcome Maya by our own efforts. But if we take shelter of the master of Maya, Lord Sri Krishna, then Maya is an obedient servant of Lord Sri Krishna. This was realized by Srila Vyasadeva in trance, in his meditational trance. He saw the Supreme Lord along with his energies under the full control of the Lord. So in this way, devotee, we also have to come to this transcendental position. We have to fix our mind on Krishna. In this way, we will become peaceful. Now, if we become devotee of Krishna, don't think there won't be problems. It doesn't mean that because I'm a devotee of Krishna, that I won't have any difficulties, nothing will go wrong in my life. It's not like that. Devotee of Krishna, how does a devotee view the problem? A devotee sees the difficulties in life as the arrangement of Krishna, and he accepts them as Krishna's blessings also. A devotee thinks that actually I'm such a sinful rascal that I deserve to suffer much more, but Krishna is only giving me a small amount of suffering. You cut your finger one day, you should think, actually, I was meant to be stabbed to death, but Krishna just gave me a cut finger. In this way, we thank Krishna, even for this difficulty, that Krishna has reduced our suffering because we have taken shelter of Him. And when things are nice and we're happy and you enjoy success, how should we think then? We should see that also in relation to Krishna, that actually I don't deserve so much happiness and so much success in my life. It is all the arrangement of Krishna, that Krishna is trying to encourage me in my service to Him. So in this way, in happiness and distress, a devotee sees everything as the arrangement of Lord Krishna. A devotee shouldn't see anything separate from the will of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. I met one devotee. He was telling me, you know, he'd become initiated in Krishna consciousness a few years ago. And then recently he found out that he had some cancer. And he was wondering how it could be like that, that since he's become a devotee of Krishna, why he would get some terrible disease. So I explained to him that just because we're devotees of Krishna, it doesn't mean that we're immune from all of these things. And he was saying that, but how will I preach to my friends? Because my friends, they're not devotees. And they will think that, you know, how is it you become devotee of Krishna and He didn't protect you from this? But I told him, I said, now you really have something to preach about. You can preach that although you have this disease, you're so fortunate that you're a devotee of Krishna, that you know how to prepare, how to deal with this difficulty, because you can take shelter of Krishna. But for them, they shouldn't think that it won't happen to them. They're also going to get disease and die one day. They're not immune from it either. Whether you're a devotee or not a devotee, no one's free from old age, disease, and death. That is there for everyone. But for a devotee is not disturbed by old age, disease, and death. It is not a problem for a devotee, because a devotee simply takes shelter of Lord Krishna in every situation. Devotee is not troubled. He simply surrenders himself. He sees everything as an opportunity to surrender more to Lord Krishna. So in this way we can understand how to deal with these different situations. Another example, of course, is there in Brahmanas cursing people, which was described in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, the story about Nriga Maharaj, who was giving a lot of charity, King Nriga. He was giving a lot of charity. He was giving the highest charity. He was giving cows, which had, some didn't have calves, and some had very young calves, only one calf. And all the cows had gold horns and gold hooves, and they were decorated with jewelry. So he was giving the highest type of charity. He was giving huge numbers of cows in charity to brahmanas. And he would select very pure brahmanas who were poor brahmanas and who were knowers of the scripture and who were fully qualified as brahmanas. And he would give them this charity of all these cows. So it was the highest act of charity. But one day, one cow wandered into another group of cows. And the same cow was given to two brahmanas. And in this way, the two brahmanas argued that this cow was given to me. Both brahmanas were saying, no, it's my cow. And they both went to Nriga and told him that you gave this cow to me. And so Nriga Maharaj said, I will give you both 1 lakh cows each in replacement of this other cow. But both the brahmanas said, no, I want this cow. You gave this cow to me and you've given it to this other person. This is not, you have not been truthful. And Nriga Maharaj could not satisfy the two brahmanas. The two brahmanas wouldn't accept any more cows because they both decided that they would accept charity only one time. So they would not change their vow. They had made the vow only to accept the charity one time. And so they wouldn't take any more cows. So because he did not satisfy these brahmanas, the result was in his next life, Nriga, when he gave up his body, although he had done so much punya, he had to become a lizard in the bottom of a well. You know, because stealing from a brahmana, very serious. You give something to a brahmana and then give the same thing to somebody else, it is like stealing from someone, from a brahmana. So he had to suffer severe reaction for that. So Prabhupada warns how careful we have to be in dealing with the brahmanas, that if we offend them, then it's such a serious thing. So of course, not only brahmanas, but everyone. We should respect everyone. We are very careful not to take others' property, especially though the property of a brahmana. Very bad, because it can affect our position in our next life, even though you may do so much charity. Of course, ultimately, Nriga got also a benediction, because Lord Krishna personally came one day and his children had found this lizard in the bottom of the well, and Lord Krishna came, and as soon as Lord Krishna touched, then the lizard was freed from his body and attained the body of a demigod. So these different examples are there to show us the dangers of the curse of a brahmana and how we have to be fearful of them, certainly. We don't want to offend anyone, but at the same time, Prabhupada tells us, he said that we should always, for a devotee of Krishna, a devotee of Krishna will not be cursed. And he's also not interested in benedictions also. No worldly benedictions. He simply wants to be engaged in Krishna's service. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us his prayer in Shikshastikam. Nadanam nadanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti ahaitaki thai. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, I have no desire to accumulate wealth or any number of followers or beautiful women or fine words of praise. I simply want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. So Lord Chaitanya is showing that devotee is not even interested in liberation. A devotee simply wants devotional service, birth after birth. A devotee is not even interested in liberation because devotional service is higher than liberation. Liberation is not important for a devotee. A devotee simply wants to be engaged in the Lord's service. That devotional service begins from the liberated platform. So in this way, devotee, we have to come to this level. We have to come to this transcendental position. Keep our minds peaceful. Become free of material desires. How can we lose our interest in material things? We may be thinking, oh, I have so many desires, I'm full of desires, I want so many blessings. How can we become free of these things? We have to hear the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to understand the futility of all of these material plans which we are making. That they are all temporary things. They are all in relation to the material body. And they have a beginning and an end. It's not going to save us from the real problems of life. A devotee of Krishna is not unnecessarily concerned about all the material problems of life. He will accept whatever is arranged by the grace of Krishna for his maintenance. And we see Krishna is providing for everyone according to their own efforts. Everyone meets with happiness and distress. Nobody looks for distress, but distress comes on its own accord. You're not looking for any trouble. Someone said to me one day, he said, I'm not looking for any trouble. I said to him, you don't have to look for trouble. It comes anyway. You can't avoid it. Right? In the same way, if trouble comes on its own, happiness also comes on its own. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be making all your plans how to be happy. Happiness will naturally come on its own without your efforts, in accordance with our previous performed activities. Everyone is suffering and enjoying. But we do have to make a plan to surrender to Krishna. This is our real business. How to progress in Krishna consciousness. How to become more faithfully situated as a devotee by regularly hearing and chanting. So this is our real duty in human life. And this is the transcendental position. Then we will never be disturbed. Okay? So, are there any questions, comments on this verse today?
But when we see, like, Bhrigumuni and Nandishwara, they were out of anger, they were cursing one and other group. So how it turns out to be a benediction?
Oh, how does... first of all, you said Narada Muni... didn't curse out of anger, he cursed out of compassion. But Sringi certainly was angry when he made the curse. He was, anger was there. Right. Yes. How can this particular curse turn out to be a benediction? Yeah, we will see ultimately what happens. You're asking, how does this curse of Bhrigumuni... Well, we haven't heard what the curse of Bhrigumuni is. We heard about the curse of Nandeshwara. Nandeshwara cursed Daksha that he would soon have the head of a goat. So this also was a benediction for him because it took away his pride. You know, he was offending Lord Shiva, but after he got the head of a goat, then he became humble and he offered prayers. And ultimately, of course, he had the head of a goat. He gave up that body and took another body. You know, that head of the goat, that particular body was so low and disgusting that eventually he gave up that body and took another body, came back again. So, it was a benediction, and, you know, it made him humble. Taking away the Nandeshwara also cursed that take away the brahmanas, that the brahmanas would simply become interested in performing rituals. How is this? This is a curse put against them. They will not get liberation. It's a benediction. In a sense, you could say it's a benediction for them because they don't want liberation. They want to enjoy the material world. And they'll simply perform dry rituals. That's what they want to do. And the brahmanas in general today, they're karmakandi brahmins. They simply want to be engaged in fruitive activities, satisfying their senses, you know, and satisfying the material desires of others. So in this way, it's like a benediction for them. Okay, we will read the translation again. When all the hereditary brahmanas were thus cursed by Nandeshwara, the sage Bhrigu, as a reaction, condemned the followers of Lord Shiva with this very strong brahminical curse. So we will hear what that curse was tomorrow. If there are no questions, we will stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Premanande.